Welcome everybody again for the second class. And so it's good to see everybody. As I'd like to begin each class, because it's so important that the essence of what it is that we are doing here, the experience that you're being invited to do is around becoming present, becoming aware in the present moment. So I'd like to take a couple of minutes to invite each person to do a short arriving centering meditation. So invite everyone to close your eyes if you're comfortable. And bring your awareness and focus it on your inner experiencing. And at this first stage, there's nothing to do other than to focus awareness. Bring attention to your breathing. Just begin to slow down to become present. By slow down, I mean any thinking, any internal doing, just feel the simple sensation of being present and being alive. And so much of this work is about being aware, observing, noticing. So notice any places in your interior body that may be feeling a little holding or tight, tension, uncomfortable. As you breathe, we bring a gentle awareness to these places. And allow a natural relaxation to take place on its own. Again, observing the inner world, another dimension is notice the narrative or the thinking mind as it floats through your consciousness. Thoughts about the past, thoughts about the future, maybe thinking about this moment and what's going on now or what's going on inside of you. Just taking a step back and observing. Noticing also the quality of your emotional feelings. You can feel them or you can name the emotional feelings. Is there any sense of unease or anxiety? Or is there a simple feeling of comfort, warmth, peace? Whatever the quality, by observing it, can begin to just let it be and embrace it. And then notice in this moment any sense of wanting, desire, longing. You enrolled in this class motivated by an impulse in you, something deep in you, was wanting something for yourself, for the quality of your life, I imagine. Invite each person to sense into feeling this impulse, the life in you, reaching for more life. And then beginning to come back into this virtual room, noticing the presence of others. Even though we're not physically present, we are present in consciousness. And invite each person to open your eyes whenever you're ready. Thank you. I'd like to begin by drawing our attention to the nature of the interior landscape that is always active in life. The interior landscape, the interior world of experiencing is always present with the relationship to life in the exterior world. And there's a short reading I'd like to share with you on our attention, awareness. Your attention is powerful, full of power. The kind of attention I am talking about is your non-judgmental, welcoming, loving attention. This attention energizes and enlivens all things in your life. Your attention arises from inside you. From that presence, we'll call your inner self. What you pay attention to and how you pay attention is how you use your power. When you reclaim your attention, you reclaim your power, your true power. And this leads to a more peaceful, fulfilling, and creative life. This sense of attending, awareness, attention, all synonymous, is for me the essence of the quality of how we live. Because the word power for me has this meaning of internal power. What we attend to is how we address the power of our life energy. And the quality of our power, the quality of our self-power, our self-awareness, and how we utilize it is the central operating principle of the quality of life and what moves us forward in how we engage with others and with life. So I'm speaking because these are fundamental principles that for me underlie an actual consciousness and experience. So the context is, even though the focus is primarily on this inner world, the inner experiencing, I want to say again that this inner experiencing always and only exists in relationship to life, in relationship to others, the world, and life. And there is a dynamic flow. It's always moving and always changing. So this work involves a fundamental shift in the way that we experience life. So we have this primary conditioning. And the primary conditioning can be seen as we perceive a life event. We then translate our experience of this event by reframing our experience according to our conditioning from our life experiences. Our cumulative life experiences are present in our system and are activated by life experiences and act as a filter or interpretive medium through which we receive and interpret and act. So it's whatever we experience is a process, it's a flow of how we take life in. For the work of becoming free and letting go, it's important that we understand that to the degree that we are in distress, in an experience of disconnection or judgment or any of those forms, is the degree of our resistance. So this understanding is very important to experience and to acknowledge. The transformational process involves moving from resistance to accepting and allowing, which is a function of awareness, focused awareness. Any life experience, there is a potential to enter into this inner dimension and to cooperate with the transformational process. In the process of compassionately embracing our inner life, the areas that we enter into are our thinking, story, the judgments, the emotionality of our feelings, the physical felt sense, and the deeper longings and values and needs that move through us. So this work is about creating an inner spaciousness to fully allow, to breathe, wait, patiently and gently. And when we do this, we are creating an inner space of compassion. So I'm sort of painting a sort of very broad, abstract sense of this inner map. The transformational process is engaged by linking our experience to the heart and opening to the center of our longing. This is the primary process. So we enter into the transformational process when we link our experience to the heart and open to the center of our longing. Or if we don't do that, the challenge is our experience can be disempowering. It is constrained by thought and judgment, which often leads to anger, depression, violence, acting out towards ourselves or towards other people. So how we choose to respond to our inner experience depends on our ability to self-compassionately connect. So one of the things that is an obstruction or obstacle is that when we act from an energy that is invested in outcome, that attached to how we want things to turn out, we tend to draw to ourselves the very thing that we do not want. So linking to the heart means living in the energy of what we hold dear, of our deeper needs. And then the action, when we are embedded in this energy of what we hold dear, then there's a natural emergence of our action, what we speak, that moves us toward the fulfillment of the need. So I said a lot there, and I'd like to have some exchange or response from people. I'd like to know how it's landing. If maybe two or three people, I'd love to hear your response. How does it resonate? Is there some part of what I'm saying that you'd like a little bit more clarity about? So I'll wait to see people's hands.
Yep, you have a raised hand from Brad.
Brad, okay. Let me see if I can check. Yeah, Brad, wonderful.
Hi, I was really connected with what you were saying about the heart connection, and there's a few relationships in my life that I often feel pain around, that they're not the way I would hope them to be. And I equate that to the resistance that you were talking about. And the other day I had a experience where I really just started kind of focusing my energy on my heart and just imagining what those relationships could be. And I had no attachment to what they should be or any idea, just the thought that if I put my energy into those relationships, they will grow and it could be amazing. So I felt like that was kind of letting go of the resistance of that they're not the way that I want them to be, but there could be something if I put my focus into developing them.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That what you shared very much aligns with the essence of what we're doing here. You put your attention on your heart of what they could be. It implies perhaps some future difference. And at the same time, you're in the present moment connecting to an awareness and a feeling sense of the possibility. And this, for me, is a very powerful place to be. It's a creative place. And then further, I think that when you and I, when we do this and we act and speak from this energy, not attached to how the outcome or how you want it to be, then this can be really transformational. So great. Thank you for sharing that, Brad. Is there another raised hand?
I was very touched by the little talk you just gave. And it seemed that in the beginning, we were invited to look at habit, conditioning, the way we operate, and generally coming from the mind and being time-bound. And then as you went into it, the invitation is to have awareness and compassion and to allow ourselves to sink into the heart so that we take on a completely different existential, in a way, a different way of being in the world. And in the end, it sounded like when we're coming from the heart, we experience the world in a different way automatically.
Yes, beautiful. That's very much a reflection of what I was sharing. So thank you. Okay.
We have two more raised hands.
Okay. I'd like to just take two more and then I'd like to move forward. So would you name the...
So we have Sue and Jen. We'll start with Sue. You're unmuted.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to share that it completely resonated what you said. I loved it. And I haven't really ever heard attention linked to power, but I relate because recently I've been asking for what I want, like connecting to my heart and naming what I would like without controlling or just staying in the moment, just standing, asking. And sometimes I get it and sometimes I don't, but it doesn't seem to matter if I'm connected to the truth of me in that moment. Yes. And so it's an experience of power, actually, and I've really been surprised. It's sort of having the courage to say it and then staying in connection with the person with their no or with whatever that wherever they're at and feeling really good and surprised that it does feel good.
Yes, beautiful. I love hearing that, too. It's just it's so much aligned with what I experience. That when you share what you share about being with and connected to your heart, it's a felt, energetic, somatic experience with a knowing that's in it, or with a consciousness. And this is the place I want to live from. And when I'm in this place, I'm actually free because if I'm attached to an outcome, there's fear there. There's some level of fear that something won't happen. And well, if that arises, then there's something more to do. But thank you for sharing that, Sue. So let's, I wanted to make a couple more points. I'm hoping that you have a couple of documents that was sent to you so that you could have them be available during this class. And I'm going to make reference to one of them, which is a diagram. It's titled Presence and Experiencing. Just to add a little bit more clarity to what I'm saying in a more visible form, there are what this diagram is attempting to illustrate to some degree is that when we enter into inner experiencing, there are these two dual but interconnected and distinct areas of experience or reality. One of them is our awareness. And awareness takes all these different forms, so I named them. It's a simple awareness. It's witnessing, noticing, attention or the context, the container within which we are experiencing something. So this awareness is formless. It has no beginning, no end. It's not located anywhere, not even in our head. So it's formless. And then there is the form of our experience, the interior world. And the interior world has these different forms of our experience. Our thinking, the cognitive element, the imagining, the imaging, the story, the narrative, the judgment, all of the forms that cognition takes. Then there is the body somatic sensing. And there's levels of somatic sensing from dense or gross, as in when you have a very tight physical feeling, perhaps even a muscular sensation. That is regarded as something that is a dense. Then we have a finer, what I call a more subtle level of physical somatic experiencing. When we are feeling an energy, a flow, an emotion, and we can sense into the somatic sensing of it, it has a more subtle, a higher vibratory rate. It is still somatic sensing. So this is another level. And then our behaviors, our actions, isn't necessarily within the interior world, but it follows from the interior world. We attend to, we can be aware of what we speak, what we say, and what we do as an emergent or a function that follows from our interior world. And then there's, even though I have it in form, there's a categorically different element that is essentially the needs or the needs that we experience. And the way that we can access that through the heart is through our longing, to the deep yearnings, what we hold precious and what we value and what we are needing. This is something that runs throughout the interior world. And it is that life force that emanates from who we really are, that moves out into life. It's the impulse that moves us towards fulfilling our life. And it has a different form, and it moves in different ways as it arises from life from moment to moment. So the interior work that we do, this inner work that we draw our attention to, always contains the awareness, which is from where we observe what we're experiencing. And so I just wanted to, even though it may seem evident or simple, I wanted to draw your attention to this form, the essence of what inner experiencing is. And so just with the diagram and what I just shared around this inner world, the two dimensions, awareness and experiencing. Just one or two people, I'm wondering if there's any response to this. Okay, Linda?
We do have we have two raised hands, so Linda.
Hi, I'm really enjoying this diagram, but what comes for me when I look at it is that these things aren't necessarily these hard categories like, you know, a brick, but they're more like light beams, that they could be dim or they could be bright, and there it could be like slider, you know, to make it more, it's like awareness can be very full or it can be very dim. Thinking, imagining, emotion, again, can be very full, very dim. This makes everything look really clear, but my inner experience is sometimes it gets pretty hazy.
I agree, and I'd just like to add to that. This diagram, because of the limitation of conceptual constructs, which this is, just points to the inner world. In no way is it trying to represent the inner world, but it points to, and of course I'm glad to hear you name and identify the quality, the richness of the fluidity and the immense possibilities of how we experience this inner world. The sense of how bright it can be or how dull our awareness can be, the fluidity of experiencing. This for me is that rich inner dimension. So I'm glad to hear you acknowledge that's for me the quality. It resonates with the quality of what this inner world is and what it can be.
And I didn't mean to be lodging a complaint. I was actually hoping to see or maybe even hear that you were going to take it further. And one of the reasons for that actually is, you know, many years of meditating and hearing this word awareness or consciousness and thinking it was going to necessarily be something really bright and clear and, you know, defined that I would have in my experience, and not knowing that there was that gradient.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of years of confusion. So that's why I just mentioned that. And I'm looking forward to see where you take it. So it wasn't a complaint.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you for that. I see three hands. I'd like to take the three hands and then move forward. Who was that just spoke? Oh, that's two more. Barbara Wiebe and then Adele. So Barbara?
I love charts like this, you know, the left column and the right column, and it makes everything easy and explicit. And actually, it does, you know, to really differentiate clearly. That's what you're doing here with these simple words, you know, formless and form. So it's helping me really understand even the word presence, because it's used so much, and what exactly is it? So to align it with formless really helps me. Thank you. And the word experiencing, I also like the simplicity of the basic parts of NVC. And what I'm not seeing here is the perceptions, the sense perceptions, because that would be another form.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that, Barbara. I think that what's implicit in sensations are the sense perceptions, because we take in, we have a visual sensation, our perception. We have the touch, the sensation of touch, the sensation of taste, smell.
So it's a little confusing, but of course, because it's complex, it might be confusing. Like, I usually think of sensation as body sensation, hot, cold, tight, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It could be, I agree, it could be more precise by sensation.
Okay. Yeah. And I imagine that it's one category, but maybe not. And maybe it doesn't matter. Longing, yearning, valuing, needing.
Yeah, I see that as one category.
Okay. So I do like the simplicity of it. And in a way, there is that simplicity between form and formlessness. And so I'm enjoying that very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. I don't know if Adele still has your hand up, or did you put it down? It was up a moment ago. You still have something you'd like to ask or say?
Yeah, I was just going to share the image that came with that. It just came when you described the chart. Came up as a coil, like interweaving coil, there was a beauty to the image that came. It's almost like a parent and child interwoven, or child, when all this is energy is moving, this life force energy, and then the regulating presence of a regulated parent, and the formless being the parent, and the one that receives the energy. And I saw them together as a coil when you were describing that in the core. And just wanted to share that.
Thank you for sharing that image. It just shows me that each person perhaps has their own unique way of understanding a reality or a principle. So thank you for sharing that, Adele. So I'd like to introduce for the whole group and guide you into a process that, of course, contains the principle of this diagram. And then after the process, after the whole group process, I'm going to just walk through it. And for some, it'll be slower than you'd like. For others, it might be just right. For others, it might be faster than you want. So I'm aware that everyone goes at a different pace. I'd like to take some responses to the guided process. And then I'm going to encourage you to then we'll work in pairs so you can have a little bit more time with a pair in a breakout room to practice this fundamental process. Okay. So I think I want to start by asking you to each person to bring, think of a situation in your life. Think of an experience perhaps that is still with you. Well, hopefully that is still with you, that even though it happened in the past, that you can tune into it. And it's an experience that perhaps you have not fully experienced, that there may be parts of it that are unresolved or untransformed, perhaps stuck. Particularly, well, any experience that we have in life. So it's a relationship experience. It might be a life event. It might be an interaction with someone. It might be in relationship to something that you did with life, an action, and the focus might be on you, your interior reaction. So, and I use this word, bringing your awareness to an experience in which you were triggered. And I use the word triggered in quotation because it's used so much. So what that means that this experience stimulated an inner experience in which there was some degree of reaction, perhaps disconnection, a contracted experience where there may be judgment, criticism, or some kind of disconnection. So to each person to bring this situation into your awareness now. And you start by identifying the stimulus or the factual observation of what stimulated your inner experience. So take a moment to identify the stimulus. This is a memory of something that occurred. You may have images. It is a memory of an observation. As you are remembering this, bring it to the present moment, not what you felt back then, but as you bring this into the present moment, notice the nature of your inner experience. Now, there's a total experience that could be called, is there a reaction to it, a reactive constriction? You observe and notice, is there a form of resistance, whatever that might be? And with the three categories, thinking, emotion, and sensing, we just start with any thoughts, judgments, story that are associated with your reaction. You name the thoughts. What are you telling yourself? what is the story about what you observed? Is there analysis? Are you evaluating yourself or the other person? This is an inner journey, just observing, drawing your attention from the outer stimulus to the inner world. And thinking, emotions, and sensations will all take place simultaneously. We're just focusing on one dimension at a time. What's the quality of your emotional feelings? Is there a feeling, a quality of pain or distress? Anger, perhaps, disappointment? Is there a sense of overwhelm? Notice the emotional feelings. And notice that when you feel an emotion, that there is a physical somatic experience that goes with the emotion. Sometimes people feel sensation in your shoulders or your head, maybe a feeling in your legs. Maybe there's the softer, warm, burning, tense feeling in the abdomen or in the chest. You're stepping back and beholding the somatic sensing of the experience. And you notice if your experience changes, it shifts, moves from one quality to another. And in all of this experience, as you go to the heart of the experience, the heart of what you really care about, is there a deep value, a deep need, a longing, perhaps that was unfulfilled in the experience, but that resides in you as something that you long for? Don't worry too much about naming it, but feel it first. What do you care about deeply? What is precious to you in this experience? For example, if there is a sense of not being fully seen and understood, a quality of considered respect was missing, those precious qualities are what are dear to us. The energy of being seen, who for our intention, being understood, whatever it happens to be, these are qualities. Feel what this feels like in the body, even though it was unfulfilled in the interaction or in your experience. These reside in you as something that is precious. Just dwell in this energy if you're able to contact the fullness. You might find your attention going to the thinking, the resistance, the tightness, pain. That's okay, just whatever arises, give it space to be there. When we have an experience when I feel that something is dear to me, perhaps sense of trust in a relationship or being seen, when I with the feeling of being seen or trust is a fullness. This is what I mean by fullness. It feels full. It's radiant. There's a flow to it. Fullness is a word that is attempting to describe an experience. It's all right if your attention goes wherever it goes. Keep following. In this experience, you could come back to what do you deeply care about? What is the quality that you care about? Not so much the action. What is the beauty in this need? As I feel the fullness in any given experience, something in me relaxes, something in me is freed up, letting go of the resistance and feeling the freedom of my life flow. Of my life energy. If you're able to contact even just to whatever degree the beauty in this need, perhaps it was unfulfilled in your experience. If you can dwell in this space, this felt space for a moment, and as you are dwelling in this felt space, bring into your awareness the original stimulus. And then just simply notice what you experience. Particularly notice the somatic felt sense. Staying with this, I'm going to ask you to begin to move out of it, breathe a little bit more deeply and consciously, and ask each person to open your eyes. I'm recognizing that this process, as I guided you through it, is likely relatively short, and there's more time perhaps that's required to go into it with some great depth, but I wanted to guide you into at least a preliminary sort of journey into this inner territory. And what I'd like to do now is to invite I'd like to hear anyone who would like to share their experience, perhaps who has a question. And I also want to know to let you know that as people share their experience, I might further work with you in the guidance and process with you more of your experience that can perhaps help the person who's sharing, but also those of you who are observing. Okay, so Leonie, can you help me track? I see there's several hands. 1, 2, 3, yes. 4. Maybe we just start from the top.
Sure. So we have Pierre.
Yeah.
You're unmuted. And then we'll go to Dottie.
Yeah, great. So, do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, Robert. Hello, everyone. So, actually, I had already looked after the simulation I have chosen. Actually, I have already processed on it. But I'm really amazed because it was related to my brother and we had an interaction. And when I go to the process you guide, Robert, I felt hatred actually towards him. And intellectually, I know that I knew that in our interaction, I had gone beyond my limits, but I knew it intellectually. And at the end of the process, I was in contact. My longing, my value was to be cared, actually. A longing, you know, a value for care. But going back to the stimulation again in my awareness, actually, I realized that the longing was more turned towards myself, the way I can care for myself in this situation. Mm-hmm. So it was, it was really inspiring.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. In here sharing, there's two points that I want to bring up for you, but for everyone. One is when you said hatred came up. For me, this is an experience that I think for many people can be very intense. And part of this process in witnessing is to really, you allow the hatred to come up. For many people, we don't want to allow hatred to come up. You know, there's another voice that says, I shouldn't have hatred. This is not good. This is judging, you know, whatever that other voice that judges our hatred or whatever it happens to be. So this is a really important part of this process. When you allow it, doesn't mean you're going to act on it, but it means that you observe the truth of what you're actually experiencing that gives it space. So that is one thing I wanted to say about what you shared that's important. The other thing is you made a distinction between you intellectually understood something, but that doesn't help. But you had to sink into the deeper experience behind your intellect. Yeah. So I just wanted to name these two things that came up that I think are important. And the other part, I mean, it was beautiful. I'm glad you shared your experience. So great. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you.
I had something happen last night that I was very upset about. So my thinking, the first category is thinking, right? So my thinking was that this woman was a bitch, controlling bitch. And my observing was that it seems still as alive today as it was last night. And my story was just how inappropriate and controlling she was. And what's underneath it is this is one of my favorite women's groups to go to. And it was a great teaching. And I was, and her outbursts were before and after. And I felt judged by her. I had to say a few things. And I felt uncomfortable because I felt judged by her. And what I deeply care about is having compassion for her instead of she's, you know, a bitch that I can't stand.
Okay. So in your sharing, there's an invitation to go into depth with what you just shared. And so I appreciate sharing what you did share. So I want you to notice that when you said she's a bitch, are you noticing that that is your creation?
Yeah.
It's something that your mind is evaluating of how you're, and that when you say, I felt judged, can you sense into what that emotionally felt like when you had the experience of felt judged? What is the emotion in that?
Sadness and rejection.
Yeah, no, even rejection. What did you feel in the experience of rejection?
I just feel always that she's looking down on me.
Okay. Can you see that as a thought? You're evaluating. The thought is she's looking down on me.
Yes.
When you see that she's looking down on you and that you experience rejection, what is your emotional feeling?
Sadness.
Okay. So just stay there for a moment. Can you get in touch with that feeling of sadness?
Yes. I'm really stuck holding back the tears.
Yes. So notice how the feeling of sadness is different than I think she's judging me or looking down on me.
Yes.
Can you see the difference?
Well, one's a thought and one's an emotion.
Exactly. So there is no right or wrong here, but it's the ability to distinguish between what you're experiencing as a thought, an evaluation, and the feeling of sadness, which is a qualitatively different experience than thought.
Right.
Okay. So we'll just stop there, just a little bit of feedback for what you shared, and I appreciate your sharing this.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
What I noticed was underneath all of that was disappointment.
Okay.
That the meeting didn't go the way I'd wanted to go.
So you go there, you can follow into the disappointment, which is an energy that links you to what you hold dear. You really cherish the meeting going in a certain way that I imagine is nurturing and fulfilling.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next person?
We have Ross.
Ross.
Oops, I think you're unmuted.
Okay, thanks. I was really working on processing an experience that I had with a vendor that I work with, in which he said the words to me first. Well, I don't usually consult with clients. And this was in an interaction discussing about a technical problem that we needed to solve. And I said, well, that's fine. Just solve it in the way that you think is best. And then there was like what I interpreted as a short chuckle. And my mind just ran with that and made me question if my input was appreciated, which made me think and question whether the relationship I have with this person is what I thought it was.
Yeah.
To put it in the simplest terms possible, growing up as a nerdy kid, it brought back all of those feelings of not being understood and of my perspective not being appreciated. And that's very much the vulnerability and the longing. And the longing is to have peers that see the world in a similar enough way that I can share with.
Yes.
And so I tried to take that and transform it into my appreciation of seeing the world in that way and my joy into digging into the details of problems, to put that in a nutshell. And tried to bring that experience around to an affirmation of what I really wanted out of the experience, regardless of what the person I was interacting with may have, what experience they may have been having in the conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for sharing, Ross. There are so many different dimensions of what you experienced that I could explore deeply each of those. The one that I'm most interested in now for you and for others is to, when you sensed into the longing, to feel it and to be clear about what it is. You said something about the longing is for others to share some kind of a vision of how of life or the world or how things operate, something like that. Is that accurate?
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting because your response, I'm sure unintentionally, touched on that for me, is that I felt like I was trying to give a very thorough response, sort of following the steps of the exercise.
Yeah.
And when you said there were so many dimensions of it, I immediately went, oh no, did I overshare? Did I overanalyze? And yeah. So I think that in a microcosm there, that's the same movement.
Yeah. But, so I'm really glad to what you're saying right now, because I'm hearing you share your inner tracking of even my feedback of how that stimulated something that's already in your system.
Right.
Which is perhaps the past experiences you've had of pain, of not being fully seen, not being fully understood, or not having a shared vision, something like that. And that I heard you acknowledge that this was stimulated even in the feedback that I offered you.
Yes. So yeah, definitely.
So this is a very valuable awareness that is an invitation for each of us to continue to explore. So so I appreciate your sharing in this last part of it as well.
Thank you, Robert.
Yes, I'm noticing that there are more hands than we have time for, and because I want to have time for you all to practice this more deeply in your breakout sessions. And I'd like to just take one more before we move into the breakout sessions. So
at the end of the exercise, it's been something I've been working with in connection to my husband for a long time, for years, actually, being able to be with him in his anxiety and depression and be with it. And I took an experience where we were driving and I've stayed in it sometimes, but not. But then at the end of the exercise, I felt very peaceful and at ease. And when I brought back the situation, it was very little that came back, but some did come back. Some of the unease came back. But because I had been with the ease and the peace so much, it didn't last long. So it was wonderful to feel like, even if it's, because there's this attachment to wanting the peace and the ease. And then another piece came in, and then I could kind of flow back to it. So it was, that was part of my experience. Thank you, Robert.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Okay. I'm a bit torn because I like to address the people who had their hands up, and I want to continue the flow of the group so that everyone has the opportunity to experience this. With another person in a breakout room.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and lower the hands then we have the breakout rooms.
Yeah, why don't we lower the hands? And last time we had 10 minutes for each person, but this time I'd like to have 12 minutes for each person. Even then, I know that this is relatively short. In my workshops, sometimes we have 45 to 50 minutes for each person when we do this kind of work. So this is, just know that initially that this may not be adequate time to fully explore. This is an opportunity to at least explore as much as you're able to this process. So I hope that you all have, either by printed out form, or you can bring it up, the document on your computer, if you have that there, the exercise that I just walked you through, the whole group. So I'd like you to address that. So what I'd like you to do is to, when you move into the breakout room, decide who's going to go first, and have the person sort of be present. The one who's listening is sort of being present, offering some empathic guidance, and maybe helping the person to move through the different phases of this exercise.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you all for doing the exercise. I know that it was a short period. It gives you a chance to at least begin the preliminary sharing, and love to receive questions. There's a hand up already, Sarah. Sharing of experience, questions. So I'd love to just go ahead. Sarah.
Yes. Well, I had a really amazing time, both as the speaker and the listener. I took your course 3 years ago, so this is like a refresher for me, and I'm really, really appreciating it. So I went right for myself to a really big issue, which is I have been suffering from vertigo for 8 years. I'm dizzy every day of my life to varying extents. And I have tried, I've seen so many doctors, so many alternative practitioners come at it from different angles, and nothing has impacted it. So it was very hard for me to allow dizziness, to accept dizziness.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, so I went to accepting that it's hard to accept.
Yeah.
And then an amazing thing happened is that I started to think of it, of all the things in my life for which I'm grateful, that I have a very rich life, and dizziness is a part of it. And that was just a huge shift.
Yeah.
To see it as not who I am, but it's a part of a big life. And it changed my feeling. It changed where the state where I was at.
Beautiful. Wow. I'm so moved hearing your sharing, Sarah. I just hear this as an expansiveness of accepting something that is there and it hasn't gone away, but you really created space for it to be there. But also in the context of more than just this, it's just a part of you. You have a larger arena of life, and there's, you shared the gratitude about it. So that shift that you experienced, I'm sensing, is liberating to some extent. So
yeah,
beautiful. Thank you so much.
The reason I raised my hand early is because I thought I'm dealing with something that's unacceptable that I can't accept.
Well, you know, that is not an uncommon reaction. Yeah. To something that's painful, distressing in one's life, the thing that automatically comes up is, this is not acceptable. I cannot accept it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, in a situation like yours, it's not very helpful to go there. It doesn't really help. It just perpetuates perhaps the distress and the suffering, especially something you have no conscious control over. So I'm hearing what you did as a transformation of that position of resisting what is to just letting it be as it is, because that's the way it is. And the miraculous thing that happens is very often these spacious experiences that are unpredictable that just occurred in the way that you shared it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, I can see the hands, so we'll just go on down line. It'll be Irene and then Jocelyn after Irene. So Irene, please share.
Hi, Robert. It was very interesting that I chose to do the same incident, because when we did it with you, I really felt there wasn't enough time, because what happened to me was, as we were thinking of the issue again, I ended up thinking of, it was a particular coworker that had sexually harassed me. And I just started thinking of all the other times he sexually harassed me, rather than being able to stay with that spaciousness that I was trying so desperately to create, rather than letting it happen.
Yeah.
And so when we had a little bit more time, I got a little further,
yeah.
But I also began to realize just the timing of things, how long something can take deep in order to really go deep, to have such a wonderful transformation as Sarah did, that it might take a lot longer. And does that really vary with the incident? I mean, this is.
Yeah. I'm glad you're naming that. Because it takes varying degrees of time, depending on not so much the incident, but could be the incident, could be where you happen to be in meeting it. It could have been a very small incident that takes a lot of time, or a large, intense incident that you can move right through very quickly. it's unpredictable, but at the very least, what I think is important is to honor whatever time it takes. And as I said before, these are relatively short periods of guiding the group into the whole group and then even the breakout sessions. So at least it'll give you an indication of now you've entered into this experience, you have a sense of what's there, and then you've been shown that there's more there. So you can revisit and next time maybe find someone that can witness you or do it on your own and give yourself plenty of time.
Yeah, because I think this is an issue that I left that situation. I quit that job particularly just because of this person. And I'm far away at this point. I've moved to Europe to get literally just as far away as I could. But it's interesting that it is still comes up as a topic of discussion in my life, especially with my husband, and how frustrated I get and how upset I get. And that in itself is what's really restricting me, that I'm still holding on to those expectations.
Yeah. And so the fact that it is still there shows you that this is in you, that it's longing for healing, longing for to be fully metabolized, to be fully experienced. As long as it's there, you will not be totally freed up to be more free from it and more fully connected to yourself. You do this for yourself.
Yeah.
So great. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we'll move on to Jocelyn.
Hello, Robert. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you again.
I used a trigger that was really live because the process you guided us through, I had wanted to ask a question about, and then when you invited questions, I just froze with nervousness. So that's what I took into my peer, that trigger of not being able to speak up. And so I'm feeling it quite intensely right now. And what I noticed was that between steps 6 and 7, the need shifted. So first of all, the longing from the thinking, there's a lot of self-judgments about don't be so pathetic and just say what you want to say. And so the longing that comes up is for freedom of self-expression and confidence. And then when my partner asked me to feel the vulnerability and the longing, I couldn't really access that until I went to allowing the beauty and the fullness and the need to emerge. There was just a completely out of proportion kind of terror, actually. And so the need shifted from freedom of expression to then there was a need for just some kindness and compassion for the depth of this historical fear to speak up and express myself. So I'm just wondering about that step 7 and whether is that quite a common thing, that feeling the vulnerability of it will actually shift the need that was identified to begin with?
Well, I'm not sure that I can characterize anything as common sometimes. What each person has their unique organic process, and however it shows up, as it showed up in you, is your unique process. So but there was a significant shift, I think, in what your initial contact with what you were longing was. It seems like it touched just the surface. It's not that it wasn't accurate, freedom of expression, but that when you heard the word vulnerability, I'm sensing that you were able to follow that into something deeper, more open, more vulnerable. And what I know is when something, it's always surprising. It's always new and surprising, even if you sense the accurate word that describes it. For me, the experience is a completely different quality or dimension than what was previous there, than just simply the identifying what the longing is. So it's characteristic that surprising and new things emerge at whatever stage they emerge. For me, vulnerability is a quality that goes with my deepest longing. Because in order to be vulnerable, it requires that I'm open. And I just want to keep at this. I want to stay patient with myself and continually intend to be patient, to be present, to sense into what's tender, what's real, what's vulnerable. And then just wait and it will emerge. I'm hoping I responded to your question.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it seems that the vulnerability has a lot to do with, because a longing obviously is something we really want. There's vulnerability and fear that it won't be met.
Yeah.
That
fear often is associated with vulnerability because it's based on past experiences. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Jocelyn. I'll move down to Carlene and then Phyllis after Carlene.
Hi, Robert. Hi. Every time I move to the pain of something, what I continue to experience is, as I've heard you say, that is the very act of self-compassion, of moving to the pain itself. And there's an opening that happens for me now. It's almost like walking through this portal.
Yeah.
And there are no words. I'm less likely to use the words for wanting just to stay in the fullness of that.
Yes. Beautiful.
Is the best I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I love what you're saying. It so resonates with those moments in my experiences that, as I'm hearing you say, there's an experience that you call pain, whatever that is, but that even the word pain cannot touch the actual energetic feeling sense of this intensity.
Yeah.
And then you allow yourself to walk through it, to feel it. And that allowing, that movement towards, for me, is a compassionate embrace. It's allowing it. And then it reveals something beautiful and precious that for me is always beyond words. Such a beautiful process.
Thank you for it. It is that, as you've written in that little book, Reflections, it is that communion.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Carly.
You're welcome.
So, Phyllis.
I wanted to ask a little bit about the process that we went through.
Sure.
I was working with something that had just happened right before class started, so it was very fresh, which was good because I still had the feelings close. And I noticed as we started going through the statements, probably a third of the way through, everything just went away. And I found myself completely in relaxation. I think that's the best way to put it. Mm. Just very quiet, and nothing was left of the original feeling.
Yeah.
And I decided to do the same thing when we worked with partners. And I was able to stay with it longer. But the same thing happened maybe a little further along, which is that the trigger point, it simply disappeared. It wasn't there. So I went to look for it. It was not there. The feelings weren't there. The images in the body, nothing. And I don't know if, as I practice during the week doing this, if that's fine or if it's better to consciously stay with the process and find out more in a different way. So that's my question to you.
Yeah, it's hard for me to respond definitively of what happened and what to do.
Mm-hmm.
In what you shared, it's unclear to me, maybe even to you, why or what was going on that it just disappeared. You know, there's a curiosity that I have about what happened. I mean, there's different possibilities. One is to track some other experiences that you've had in your life and to notice, is there a pattern of things like this interiorly disappearing, which can be part of the protective mechanism that we dissociate from an experience because of the intensity.
I don't think that's it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just naming some of the possibilities, but you're saying you don't think that's it. So there's a sense of trusting in that, your inner knowing that there's something else going on. And for me, what I'd want to do is to track it, be very precise with in this moment, you stay with the process. And it's a precision, there's a subtlety in paying attention to what happens. So even notice right before it disappeared, what was going on. Mm-hmm. So just to track it, just a curiosity, just noticing. Not that there's anything wrong, but that there's a discovery, a possibility to discover it.
I can say that, well, I think we were at the place where it was about need, and I noticed the need was for connection, and then I felt connection, and then it sort of was all right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like some kind of a correction took place.
Yeah. In that case, it sounds like when you notice a need for connection, and then you had an experience of connection. Mm-hmm. That experience of connection for me is an energetic shift from what was not there to then what is there. It's what I call, and there's a fullness to it, there's a flow. And that for me is a transformation, and sometimes it happens in an instant. And now the thing to do with that last step is, if you can reconnect to the experience of connection, whatever that is, and then recall the original stimulus, and you notice what happens. That would be a thing. A process to visit that will clarify. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Great. Okay. We have one more.
There were two things that happened to me. When I got to the longing, I struggled to find a word for it. And I had several words: connection, intimacy, closeness, be appreciated. I had an action. So my partner suggested closeness because I had an action of wanting to pull the person towards me.
Yeah.
And then when it says about dwelling in the fullness, all I got was pain. Yeah. And the sense of it, the unmet rather than the met.
Yeah.
And I have talked to you before when you came to England about this, and you said something really helpful last time, and I've forgotten. I don't know if you can help again.
Okay. I don't remember what I said.
No.
But it sounds as though, at least a part of what you just shared now, that first you felt an experience of longing. This was a felt experience, and it was real. Then you attempted to identify it by, what is the meaning of this connection, whatever those things that you named. I don't know if naming it seemed to help or not.
It did when my partner offered me closeness as a word.
So then closeness, and then it stimulated an image of pulling the other person. There's an image that it sounds like stimulated. And then something happened after that, something that triggered the fear. I'm not sure what it is that happened.
So it could have been a sense of that's been a longing for a long time.
Yeah. So it went into your memory of the times that it's been a longing for a long time, and implicit in that memory was the lack or the unmetness of it. It's a matter of tracking, you see. And whenever that comes up, my sense is that there's grief there. What's up?
I feel it now when you've said that, hearing the word grief.
Yeah, so the grief of all those times that you carry with you now, of those that you have not been seen or met in the closeness, you have not experienced that. So the grief is the natural part of the healing. Behind the fear, there is sadness and grief. This is this invitation for to allow this to come up. Allow the grief to come up. Feel the grief. Because at the heart of the grief is something beautiful. The grief is a sadness because that the beauty of intimacy and closeness was something that is missing, but it's at the heart of what you long for. Grief is a very natural process.
So I think you're saying, you know, go with that sadness and that grief.
Yes.
and know that there's something beautiful under that, and yeah. I guess keep going until I get to something beautiful.
Well, for me, there's always something beautiful behind grief. Grief is the missing of something that was not fulfilled. So whatever was not fulfilled is precious. We wouldn't feel grief about something that we don't value, we don't care about. So when I can touch that which is already precious and dear in the grief, then I can begin more fully grief. Yeah, so it is the part of you that's calling to be fully in the grief and to touch the beauty that's inside of the grief. Great. Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate your sharing. Okay, so I'd like to start to close the class today. We're coming to the last few minutes of the class. So thank you all for this class. I want to encourage you to engage in this practice every day, because to the extent that we practice is the extent that we can find the value and develop this capacity to be with our inner experience. Because for me, one of the deepest human longings is to live into the truth of our being, which is inherently free. And it's in we long for freedom, to be free from the constrictive experiences of the pain of life. So when we can do this, then my experience over and over again is it connects us to the power of our being, to the beauty of our being. And from this place, we then move forward with ourselves, move forward in our relationships. But in order to do that, it requires that we enter into this transformational process of compassion so we can free up who we really are.